What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Collective Podcast. And today is all about VAs. And no, loan originators, not a loan product where you're helping veterans that serve our great country. We are talking about virtual assistance. And we've got a guest, Shane, that I'm going to let you introduce in a sec. But dude, the world of virtual assistants is wild. I remember being scared to death when we even considered hiring our first VA. And we're going to dig into this stuff. But bro, people need to know who we've got on the show today.
It's so important because, you know, you and I both have experiences with VAs. And I feel like the name's going to have to change here from virtual assistant to something different. Cause to me, I look at these people as remote staff. And I think that's different because I look at them as an integral part of my team. These aren't contract workers. Cause there's a difference. Like I have remote staff. I have contract workers that are virtual. I have virtual assistants, but there's so much nuance to it now. And I think too, what's really important is what you used to be able to get away with and still be somewhat successful as an entrepreneur. It's like those people that are really struggling to above water. And you can tell, like, it's very obvious when somebody now isn't adapting to what's required to be an entrepreneur in 2024 and beyond. And so that's why having Justin on, who is also an originator, but more importantly, is a key part of a virtual assistance company, Cyberbacker. That, and again, guys, we don't bring people on and talk about things that we aren't, you know, using ourselves. I mean, we actually have two Cyberbackers on our team here at the Collective. So again, like I'm not only a member, but I'm also a client. Was that Hair Club for Men back in the day? Way back in the day? I'm not saying that, Justin, directed at you at all. I don't think I was ever part of that. But Justin, yeah, welcome, man. And we're super excited to have you on and to get kind of your insight from the, you know, from behind the curtain, what it's like, understanding the struggles that people have, the needs people have today versus what they used to have. And those who are winning, how they're leveraging remote staff, virtual assistants in a different, unique way.
Yeah, it's amazing with how things have evolved over time. From, I don't know how old you guys are, but 1003 is just all be done on paper, right?
Yeah.
And submit that paper in, you have to then pull it up. Okay, you got to type it and transpose it all into your computer, things like that. Nowadays, they just go download your app or else they get online and take it to your website. So things have changed a lot where you needed an in-house physical assistant to help take care of things. Nowadays, you can get somebody that's remote. It doesn't matter where they're at in the world, but they will take care of all those tasks and they'll check that 1003 for you, make sure it is set and ready for you. So yeah, things have really, really changed a lot in the past.
Well, and I think what's so valuable for people to understand, and I've learned this the hard way, you know, I had a coach who said, hey, you're not that important. And now I think what he meant to say was,
I agree.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know you, between you and I, you know that I'm not that important, but what that statement did for me was I'll just hire a bunch of people to do a bunch of things and I'll be off golfing and other things or whatever that looks like. The reality is my importance has shifted. My time has shifted. My energy has shifted. My focus has shifted. And things that weren't required of me before are now required of me. A big piece of that being delegation, project management. I mean, you can have the best virtual assistant in the world, but if you can't delegate, communicate, and help manage projects, it's not going to work well. And so what's so interesting, and I want to dig in on more, is I think it's kind of the evolution of an entrepreneur. You know, I look back, I have a co-working space, and so I have entrepreneurs from 20 years old selling Cutco knives to 75 years old working through commercial real estate. And it's amazing to see these mindsets, the difference in mindset. And again, it's not an age thing. It's a belief. It's kind of a mindset thing because there are people that are in their 70s who have that mindset of, like my stepdad, he's 76. He's a commercial broker and he has a VA, right? I also know people who are in their 20s who have VAs. So it's not an age thing. Please don't hear that. But you see people who are stuck in the 80s or in the 90s. They're flying by the seat of their pants. They got a laptop case full of bills that they haven't paid that they'll get to when they have time. They're still marketing with an old-fashioned headshot in a way that's not resembling what they're actually selling today. They're poor to respond to emails. They're the guy or gal who's always late to every virtual appointment. They're forgetting things. You're prompting them to get on the call that they wanted to have with you. And you go, man, these guys and gals, they need that magic bullet, right? They need that, that secret sauce that's out there. And I was that guy. I was struggling. I had four companies that I kind of fell into, and I wasn't an entrepreneur by training. I was a fireman. Like, I knew how to show up and polish my boots and go out and, you know, put out fires. And then I'm dropped into these businesses and I failed. Like, and I made money, but I failed. I failed because I didn't have processes and procedures. I didn't have scalability. And scalability to me is a financial thing as well as it is a people thing. It's not just, hey, can I scale and go from, you know, in my mortgage business, 5 loans to 15 loans. You can do that. But if you do that and you have to bring in US-based staff at a, you know, $100,000 a year cost when you factor in payroll tax, social security benefits, tax, you know, everything, that doesn't scale. And so as an entrepreneur, we're in a new season. And what I love about this is those willing to embrace, you know, a different mindset, a different understanding about what's best use of time. And that you are important, like, yeah, but your importance is different than it was before. And so that coach saying you're the least important person on your team, everyone is the most important person on the team, I believe. Like, everybody is the expert on something, and your expertise is in the delegation, is in the management, it's in the people business, right? Like, understanding the cultural differences, understanding how to communicate effectively to motivate people to be more effective with their time. And then you go out and sell knives, or you go out and sell a digital product, or you go out and sell cars, or you go out and sell mortgages or real estate or build funnels or whatever. And it really doesn't matter at that point.
You know, I agree with you 100%. I love how you keep going about the scalability and how you're not the most important person out there. I've had tons of trainings, been in the sales business forever, just hitting like 20 years just now. And one of the things that I really learned that really hit home with me is like that you're not the most important person. So if you've got a team, you've got a group, you got a set of VAs, you got a business, you should be able to run that in such a way that when you're gone, you're not missed, that the world doesn't fall apart, that everything still flows just fine without you there. And that's really the main goal of any entrepreneur, any business owner, anybody out there, is they want to be able to step away from their business just for a vacation or something like that and be able to put their phone down. I don't know how many loan officers are still sitting on the beach drinking their martinis and have their laptop out and their phone out because they've got to make sure this deal closes. They've got to make sure this happens because it's all about them and only they can do it the best they can. Nobody else can help them out with that. But be able to take that responsibilities off you and be able to, okay, let's get out for a bit. Let's put that phone down while we're at our kids' baseball games, things like that. Because our VA is going to take care of that.
Justin, so all three of us have VAs currently, right? So we're not where we used to be, but everyone I talk to, it feels like that hasn't experienced a VA, they're scared to death, right? Because we're all just so accustomed to, like, you work in the office next to me, so we just get to rub shoulders all day long. And if I need something, I poke my head in your office. And that's how we're all used to doing business. What are some of those self-limiting beliefs that you find when you're working with somebody that's considering becoming a client? What are a lot of those struggles that they have? And then how do we overcome them?
I think two of the biggest struggles are, one is you got that entrepreneur out there that is like, okay, I built this business. I am flooded with work. I just can't get my feet on the ground. I can't leverage. I can't get out of there. I'm just like stuck at this level. And they're like going, okay, but nobody can handle and do it the way that I do it. Nobody can do business like I can. So they don't want to bring anybody in, but then they're all depressed that, like, okay, my business isn't growing. So be able to, I mean, seriously, with my mortgages back in, what was it, 2020, 2021, just the rain of mortgages coming in, the refinances, things like that. And of course, nobody can do it as good as me, right? So I had to do it, and I was spending like, it was just a newlywed at that time. And my wife's like, going, is this what I married into? It's like, what the heck? Like, you're only sleeping 4 hours a day, working 20. And I'll tell you one thing, getting that virtual assistant in there, be able to leverage out a lot of those processor type tasks and be able to leverage a lot of that stuff out was just mind-boggling, mind-changing. It's just, you can't imagine how much freedom you got when you can just let it go. I mean, I think Elsa said it best, just let it go.
Elsa, she's so smart.
He had to bring in the dad jokes there that Kyle and I both appreciate. Well,
can we double up on that dad joke? Because in the second Frozen, there is also a song that Anna sings, not to let Elsa get all the glory, called Do the Next Right Thing. And I think the next right thing is sitting on this podcast for a lot of people, because they've been treading water for a really long time and they've been overwhelmed with whatever aspect of their business is they're struggling in. And they've known for a while, like, this isn't the first time most people are hearing the letters VA. They've heard this. They have friends that have done it, but they need to do the next right thing. And to do it, they've got to overcome all these struggles and misconceptions that they have with virtual assistants. And I think the biggest one, at least that I struggled with 4-ish years ago when we started interviewing for our first VA, my greatest fear was, what if I can't understand them? Right? Like, well, I mean, because I don't know how the Philippines operates. I don't know what languages they use over there. You know, like, so how do you guys ensure, Justin, that people will be able to communicate with their VA?
You know, one thing that CyberRecord does is we well vet out thousands upon thousands of applicants every single week. And one of the tests that we have is an English test. We also have in-person interviews. So it's really hard for just anybody to go out there and just start dialing phone numbers. Hey, are you a good virtual assistant? And let me listen to your voice. So you get a company like us that goes to the Philippines, does all the marketing, brings in tens of thousands of applicants a week, and then we'll go through, okay, where are you at on your English skills? They've got about 45-minute test just testing them on English, how they would form sentences and how they understand certain sentences, because the U.S. culture, it's different than the Filipino culture.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that they're on the same page as us, that they can represent us well. And there are some there that I would say their minds are brilliant, but their language isn't just quite there. And we're able to find places in the company for them as well.
So I want to unpack this more, because I think the biggest misconception or unknown that I had was, like, how are these people vetted and trained? Like, what preparation is done in advance of them coming to me? And you touched on something really quick that I want to just get out there in the open. Don't go hire a VA on your own. Hire through a company. Now, listen, if 10 years down the road, you've built an established relationship with a whole group in the Philippines, you understand their culture, that's a very different situation. The reality is that no one is in that position unless they've actually gone to the Philippines, unless they've actually been through this. So, you know, and I have VAs for three companies that I own and operate, and they're all managed and brought to me by third parties. CyberBacker being the key one. And so for me, I don't want people to think that they can save money and time by doing this on their own. You can save a little bit of money, but you waste so much more time. And I tried this, you hire the wrong person, then you go back to the drawing board. And so what I'd love to do, because to me, that's default. Default assumption is you're going to hire through a company. You're going to hire through an agency. With that in mind, what are some of the other things you guys do? And what are some of the other things that that your applicants are doing to make sure that they're well-skilled, well-qualified? Like this language test that you talk about, this 45-minute test, what other things are they doing? Like as they're going through, you know, their schooling to become candidates that are going to be good for us? Are they taking training on like Microsoft products? Are they like, what are they doing? Because I think that was the biggest thing for me was, how prepared are these people going to be coming into my system? Like, do I need to teach them how to use like Microsoft Word? Like, because the language barrier was one of them. But then it was kind of like all the other things, like, what do I need to be spending my time on with these people?
Yeah. So we have a division that is just, we call them the head backers, and they are our training superstars. So each one of our cyber backers out there that works for you guys, works for anybody, has what we call a trio, somebody helping with their career, their growth, and then their training. We have over 300 trainings every single month. Calendar goes out to all of the business owners out there, and it says like, hey, do you want your cyber backer to know a little bit more about social media or Word or all these other things? Like, they have access to these trainings, half an hour trainings done throughout the entire day, and sometimes even over their daytime or our nighttime. So there are plenty of opportunities for you as an owner saying, hey, do you know what? Why don't you brush up on this? Or, hey, I want you to start dabbling in this, so take those classes. But even before then, when we hire some people on, we hire them, we put them into a pool, that waiting pool of cyber backers before they're paired with the client. They go through some trainings. They have their own reach out. They're like, hey, I'll be more proficient in the Microsoft world or the Google world. And then once they pair with a client, then we get with you guys as the clients, as the new cyber backer, CEO is what we call you, then you can say, okay, for the next 10 days, first 10 days of their trainings, these are the topics that we want them to cover. So we have generalized things that they can learn before they're hired with you. We have specific things that they get trained on in 10 days, exactly what you guys want them. And then we have continuing education throughout the life of them with us, through you and with you guys. So
That's so important to know. Justin, I'm just asking this stuff off the cuff because it was something I didn't know. Talk to me about compensation, because what was always kind of the assumption was, oh, they're making $5 to $6 an hour, $5 to $7 an hour. Like, has that gone up based on like quality and demand? Like, kind of where does it sit? Like, if I'm kind of here and I'm saying, Kyle, I hear you, man. I know I need somebody. Yeah, Shane, like, I am the guy who's not paying my bills. Like, they know that they need to add people, but it's that fear of the unknown holding them back, or the assumption of, oh, it's $7 an hour. And then, you know, you hear other people going, no, I pay my VA $12 an hour. And then they get confused and then they have paralysis. You know, it's that analysis paralysis, and they do nothing. Talk a little bit about compensation, hours, kind of, can you get any number of hours? Is it typically, you know, 20 versus 40? Kind of walk us through some of those things.
One of the things that we pride ourselves on, at least here in Cyberbacker, is we find the best talent throughout the Philippines. And in order to that, we have to offer them great stuff. So we do 20-hour, 30 or 40-hour work weeks for them. They work whatever hours that you want them to work. So whether it's your 9 to 5, or maybe you don't need them in the office during office hours, have them work at their daytime. You're looking at more towards, if you're getting a cyber backer, more towards the $9 an hour, only because we want to entice the best. I know you can find other companies out there that are less expensive, but I always believe in what you get, what you pay for. So, and 40 hours a week, your tasks, your needs. If you decide like, hey, do you know what, this guy or this gal is doing great. They're definitely worth more, and we want to keep around a little bit longer. You can then decide yourself, okay, maybe we give them 50 cents an hour raise, or maybe, do you know what, they got this project done, I'm really proud of them, I'm going to just drop them an extra $50. And then we have what we call money backers out there that we work with. They get it all switched over to their currency, and they take care of all that for you. You just reach out and say, hey, I would like to do this. They'll take care of it for you.
So $8, $9, $10 an hour is a good quality wage there, right? So like, that's not underpaying, where you're getting the people who've never been, VAs before. You're probably not getting taken advantage of either. That's really good to know. And then I know what I found was that the companies that were doing this the right way, they weren't letting you take 5 hours a week. It was 20 or 40. And it was like, you know, because I think that was also very healthy for the VA. And again, sometimes we do this thing where we think that because they're in a different country, all of a sudden human nature is totally different. Like, why would somebody in the Philippines want to work 3.7 hours a week when we would want 20 or 40, right? And so like, I think we overdo the cultural differences like in our minds sometimes, you know, and I think that's something that just like I've seen with people. But again, I hear you, you know, saying $8 to $10 an hour, roughly 20 to 40 hours a week. And I think those are important things for people to just be, and sometimes even if it's 20 hours a week, it's a little more per hour because, you know, they're getting less hours. I think that's really important. Talk about, you know, do you tip, do you not, bonuses versus not, like, and then some of the things about like vacations, holidays, you know, because like when I first got in, I didn't understand that they have some very, I wouldn't say strict, but firm holidays. You know, it's a Catholic country. And so like they're very into their Catholic holidays. So just kind of walk through some of those things as well.
The holidays there is just amazing. I've been with Cyberbacker long enough now and getting to know my wonderful Filipino friends over there, is that they have holidays that are, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. They'll work on Thanksgiving. They don't think twice about that. But they're more de los muertos, the Day of the Dead, and the Halloween week is a really big deal for them. So with my Cyberbacker, it's like, you know, it was worth it. She works really hard. She does a lot of things for me. You know what? Taking a day or two off, no big deal. And they do submit, like, okay, I would like a day off a month in advance or a couple months in advance. And my Cyberbacker, she works really hard, and I'm willing to help her out wherever it is. And then never once has she ever taken advantage of that as well. And then, what was your other question?
Yeah, like just talk about like bonuses and things like bonuses. That. I mean, so like I know that one that had been brought up to me in the past was this, like, you take a month, how many months they've worked for you, you divide that. I forget the name of it, but there's this like there's a end of year bonus.
Yeah, they call it the 13th month.
Yes.
So that's one of the incentives that a lot of companies do to keep them around and to keep them like, well, okay, you work for a little bit less all 12 months. At the end of the 12 months, you get your 13th month. So pretty much another same kind of paycheck. Cyberbacker, we believe in paying them good all year round. So, and we know a lot of people that will just kind of sit and wait at a company that doesn't work for them till they get that 15th, that 13th month bonus. Then they just kind of like, okay, I quit, bye. And they just kind of disappear. Where if you decide as a business owner and with a Cyberbacker, you want to pay them that 13th month, or you want to give them what we sometimes we call it a Christmas bonus here, and or you want to give them a raise, that's just very doable. Give them bonuses, and you just work that through with the team.
Well, here's what we know. In 2 days, we are doing a full webinar digging into all things VA with you, Justin, that is typically reserved for our paid members of our community. For this webinar specifically, we're opening it up to everybody. So those of you listening to the podcast, you can jump on. If you're listening to this podcast 3 months from now, guess what? There's going to be a link somewhere for you to go check out what we're doing 2 days from now, but will have already happened if it's 6 months from now, where we're going to unpack everything. Because even in what we've talked about, we have barely scratched the surface of what this VA world looks like, what they're capable of doing for you. I know Shane and I are going to be able to talk about like what our two VAs do for us inside of the collective specifically. And then he's got other companies. I've got other companies that VAs are also being leveraged. And so Wednesday is going to be unbelievable. If anybody has questions, submit them to us. We'll make sure we get them to Justin, so that we can talk about it on Wednesday. But bro, before we tie a pretty bow on this podcast, how do people get a hold of you?
There's a few different ways. Easiest way for me and anybody else, I really feel, is just text me. Phone number 385-316-2204. You can shoot me an email. And also my LinkedIn information is just right below my face.
That's so right. Yep.
Just find me at Justin Bruff, that's on LinkedIn. We're also on Facebook, cyberbacker.com/mortgage or cyberbacker.com. So there's quite a few different ways you can reach out and connect with me.
I love it.
Love it, man. Thanks for your insight and just being willing to share your experiences. And what I love about like your guys' company and you is you kind of share the good, the bad, the nitty gritty. It's not like this, hey, here's what's good, without sharing the challenges and the difficulties, because nobody wants to step into something not understanding both sides of things. So thank you for always doing that. I'm excited for Wednesday. This is going to be an opportunity for people to really get their fears you know, alleviated their concerns, answered and addressed, and come up with a plan. Like, and this should be the month, this should be the year that you finally step back from doing everything at a poor level and step into just being really what you're good at, because you are important. What you do does matter, but the things you're doing that you aren't good at, you need to get somebody else to make sure that you can really start to grow as an entrepreneur in 2024 and beyond.
So good. Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you on the next one.